Heavenly Father, who chose the Virgin Mary, full of grace, to be the mother of our Lord and Savior, now fill us with your grace, that we in all things may embrace your will, and with her rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the kid said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in the house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving around in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved among my people, among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. How ready are you for Christmas? Cookies yet to bake? Gifts to buy or wrap? Decorating to do? I remember one Christmas Eve when we were sitting together at the early service, Jamie and I and our son Simon. Simon was about 7 at the time, and he was very busy with his pencil, filling up every bit of white space that was available in the bulletin with writing. "What are you doing?" I asked at one point. "Writing my letter to Santa," he whispered. Like, I panicked. It was too late for shopping, but thankfully Santa had anticipated a couple of the requests. Well, there's still a bit of time to get things done. We've got a few hours before we all come back to gather around the stories of Jesus' birth. In the meantime, I want to think with you for a few minutes about a person who might help us get ready. Ready not just for our Christmas services, but ready to receive God's word into our lives to help bring more of that Advent for love into the world. And the person, of course, is Mary. Today's gospel is the angel's encounter with young Mary, inviting her to give birth to Jesus. In our tradition, she is perhaps most often called Mary, the mother of our Lord. And many see Mary as a model of motherhood. For others, over the centuries, she was raised pretty much to the status of a goddess, almost turning the three-person Trinity into a four-person quaternity. The title that I love for Mary is Theotokos, almost literally, bearer, Mary, bearer of God. Perhaps you have a favorite image or title of Mary yourself. When the Second Vatican Council of the Roman Catholic Church met in the mid-1960s, There was great debate and discussion about the role of Mary for the church and the world. The council documents that emerged, it's probably worth noting that there were no women actually present at the council. There might have been a couple in the 42 odd observers that were there. But the council documents that emerged did emphasize Mary as Mother of God, but they also portray her as the model of Christian discipleship and prayer. It is the way that Mary receives the Word of God for her life that catches my attention and speaks to me. She is very much a model of openness and trust, not just for women, but for all genders, all of us, not just for the young, as she was, but all ages, all people. We know very little about Mary. I like that. It's rather surprising, don't you think, that Luke doesn't give us even a hint of what it is about Mary that makes her a good candidate to bear Jesus. We know a little more about Joseph. He was from the house of David. And in the case of John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, well, Luke says they were righteous and blameless. They kept God's commandments and they prayed. But not a single word describes the virtues or any other characteristic of Mary. This ordinary woman spent her days helping her family, perhaps working in the local fields, going to the synagogue, making clothing, preparing food. It was not even quite the start of the first century of the Common Era, remember. She would have been indistinguishable from her contemporaries. To this woman, Mary, God came. Now, usually this story is called the Annunciation, as in the Annunciation to Mary. And her role seems quite passive. She's a recipient of the message. This morning, I'd like you to consider that this story could also be called the Call of Mary, where she has a much more active part. These call stories have a common pattern. You could think of Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah, where first there is an interruption into the daily life of the person, a startled reaction, then an exhortation, a divine commission, an objection, a reassurance, and finally a confirming sign. And actually, all of those elements are present in this very short story that Luke tells us today. First, the interruption. Well, Mary is going about her day when the angel taps her on the shoulder and greets her. Mary is startled. Wouldn't you be too? Who is this? What's going on? What do you want? The angel exhorts her, don't be afraid. The same words, of course, that Jesus will use many times later in the Gospels. A divine commission is then given. Here's what I have in mind. You're going to bear a son. An objection is raised. Do you remember how Moses said, like, I can't speak, you better send somebody else? And Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Well, in Mary's case, I haven't known a man. The reassurance. Okay, Mary, I get it. It's all a bit unusual, isn't it? But relax. God's got this. A confirming sign, your kinswoman Elizabeth, beyond childbearing years, has also conceived and will bear a child. So we see her openness and trust has allowed her to receive God's word for her life. Here I am, be it unto me, according to your word. And what a word it was. Well, then what? I suppose Mary got on with her day. Although actually Luke tells us that she went to see her kinswoman, Elizabeth. And the story continues. But wouldn't it be great if God spoke to us so directly and clearly? We could share our stories at coffee hour. Actually, I'm not sure, is there coffee today? No, there's no coffee. We'll add another coffee hour. Well, Come to think of it, of course, we can share our stories. In fact, I'm new amongst you. Karen, our intern, is also new, and we don't know one another's stories very much. They may not be as dramatic as Mary's. They may concern big questions that we've dealt with in our life, different times when we've heard God's voice in one way or another, perhaps during times discerning vocation or a change in vocation or times of sickness or the loss of a partner, any number of sort of big significant moments in our life, or maybe in quieter, more subtle ways as we have lived our lives. How would we identify God's word coming to us, God's voice moving us in a certain direction? Very often, I propose to you that those times will have been mediated for us, not so much by angels sent by God, although that could be the case, but many more oftentimes by people whom God places in our path along life's journey. As I was thinking of Mary's story this week, I was also recalling times when I've asked people in Christian communities to consider taking on certain roles. I expect Gary does a fair bit of that here. Christian communities need people to do stuff. That's how they grow and thrive and make a difference, bringing God's love, the life of Jesus, to bear in the world. Maybe that role is a little bit like the angels in the story, interrupting someone as they're going about daily life to ask them to take on some piece of work for the good of the community. Sometimes the answer is a clear and simple no, or no thank you. I once asked a man to chair our building committee, and he politely said that when he had turned 85, he vowed he would not even sit on a committee, let alone chair it. Who knew? A woman soon came along that I knew would be exactly right for that work. I asked her, and she barely needed any encouragement. She was ready and raised no objections, and she was very great at looking after things. I remember another time asking a man to chair a refugee working group. He had only ever done financial type things before. "Well, think about it," he said. "It's a strange request. I'm not sure. It would be very different, but maybe." Well, I said, "I think you'd be really good at it, and I think you'd like it." And he did do it, and he was very good at it, and he kept the work for many years. Whole communities get tapped by angels too, called to try a new ministry or serve the community in a new way. And always, I would say, these are ways of bringing the love and life of Jesus more fully into this world. Maybe God is tapping us on the shoulder this morning, wondering how to get a word in edgewise as we busy ourselves getting ready for Christmas. Don't forget to listen. Amen.
Thank you. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.